make sure everybody can speak and be heard. I'm going to go through both the school committee and the select board, just make sure there's not any communication issues. Here or present would be fine. I am here. Jen?
I'm here.
Carol?
Here.
Leah?
I'm here.
Anne?
I'm here. I'm printing.
Okay. David?
Me? Bill?
Here. Yep.
Bo?
Here.
Jay Corson?
Here.
Donna?
I'm here.
And Justin?
I'm here as well.
All right. Looks like we're all good there. So the first order of business tonight actually is just the public comment. We're going to be talking budget tonight, but if there's anything that anybody wanted to bring up, feel free, and then we'll move into the budget. If not, I don't see Meredith's hand up, so I think we're good to go, but obviously Meredith, feel free at any point. So we're here to discuss the school committee budget, the school district budget, but of course also talk to the Board of Selectmen about their plans and kind of get some understanding of how things are going to go here for the next few months leading up to town meeting or the referendum vote, whichever it may be. I wanted to start, before we get into the details of the budget, by just clarifying for everybody that this budget, the school budget, is not a final draft. We have not voted on approving the budget. The purpose of the meeting is really just to keep the Board of Selectmen and the public up to speed on projected spending for the next year. We have some minor tweaks we're going to have to make, little things. I think insurance is one of them, and just got some more numbers on that, but just little things that shouldn't drastically affect the budget. So it's pretty close, I would say. I hope everybody had a chance to look the budget over. You can see the bottom line. But up here, the bottom line is down about 10.36% or $127,000. There were really only a couple of items that made up the bulk of that decrease. And if there's questions on the real details of that, I think Anne would be better, but just to kind of skim over them, we changed the the makeup of the classroom instruction from 2 3/4 teachers to 2 teachers this past year, and I plan to continue that again next year based on the enrollment projections. Lower overall tuition to Yarmouth. I think high school might be about the same or didn't change a whole lot, but middle school tuition is lower, again, because of the enrollment projections. Just a couple kids leaving the district makes a big difference on that line item. Mostly in the technology area, we're really well caught up because of the fact of the money from the COVID grants. This school year has really allowed us to kind of get in a real good place. So there's not any big expenses we see there. So that's kind of the makeup of the changes. I think if there's any questions on the details of that, probably could be directed to Anne. So we'll kind of stop there for now and see where we are. Any questions at this point? Bo?
I just had questions about I thought you either eliminated the K-2 teacher, and I was curious why there's still a salary there and why there's still that line item. You're on mute, Anne.
That way, when I'm muted, you can't argue with, you can't mute anything I say. So there are still kids, there's still students in that classroom. And so we've put a portion of of the pre-K salary in there and a portion of the 3-5 salary in there to cover the that cost. And the reason why I elected not to just eliminate it is because we could grow again and have a separate classroom again. That's our hope and our dream that the population will grow again. So if you notice that the pre-K salary line is down, and so part of that is in the K-2 line, and then the 3-5 line is down because that's also in there. Also, again, there's K-2 students and there's 3-5 students, and we also split the salaries of the PE, Spanish, technology, and music teacher between those two lines as well.
I understand. I think it'd be clearer if it'd be just one whole either K-5 or pre-K-5, because this is just it's very difficult to explain to anybody.
Also, when you see the warrant, this whole article, the regular ed, it's all just one number. It's not broken down. This is just for our working purposes.
I understand, but the budget is all due. You can view this budget if you want to. You don't have to, you know, somebody's got inquiries about it.
Yep. Understood.
So Justin, stand up.
Just purely technical reasons too, that those account numbers like 8301, 8302, those things are permanent account numbers. So if they were to create, if Ann was to create a new line K-5, it would be something completely different. It would have to be, we'd have to find a number that was vacant and it would be out of order. So that's just, it's just a technical thing, but we try not to create accounts in the accounting general ledger. We try to avoid that as much as possible because it just adds accounts that we then can never get rid of.
David?
Yeah, I just want to lodge a quick complaint if I could. Dark green on black really doesn't work for reading these numbers. So next time, please add some contrast to it.
Yeah, you hold it up to the light, it works fine.
Is that what you have to? Oh yeah,
right. For my that's so I can know which numbers I've adjusted and which ones I haven't.
Well, adjust them in a way that we can see them.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
It's okay.
Jay?
When I read this and went through this, what I looked at was not so much the numbers, but the story that it tells, in that we clearly have a significant drop in our student population. Mm-hmm. Middle school tuitions are way down. Teacher salaries are down because we don't have as many of them. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you refer to looking forward to your expectations for next year's population. Where do we stand now and what is your expectation?
Our population will stay the same as it is this year, I believe, and we're hoping that, you know, just in the future that the island can attract young families and the population grow, or we can attract students from Yarmouth or Cumberland or Falmouth to come over.
But just if your population's going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Then why wouldn't the middle school tuition, for instance, be at least similar?
Oh, I was talking about the population of the K-5. The middle school population, I believe, this year is at 16, and next year will be at 11. And that's people coming in, people graduating up to the high school. There, last year we had one student graduate and we had a pile come in and they go from the middle school to the high school. So there's quite a few high school students also graduating this year, and I think an equal number going to the from eighth grade to the freshman year, and there's classes going into sixth, seventh, and eighth are a little bit smaller.
Right. I saw that the high school tuition was up about $4,000. Mm-hmm. But your salaries, teacher salaries, are significantly down. That's down about 75,000.
Yep.
From this year. And yet your class sizes are going to be about the same. Have we reduced some of the services, like special ed? I see has dropped, you know, is lowered, and some other things.
No, we, after the budget was passed last year, right before school started, we did a reduction in force of a staff member. So that salary was already in the budget. And then there was a need to do some payout and some insurance. And then we needed to increase a position from a 75% to a 25%. So after that whole wash, and then moving forward for this year, it still is a decrease in the salaries.
Not sure that I totally follow that, but okay.
We budgeted for 2.75 staff in this current budget that we're in right now, when in fact we only had two staff. So it's the actual dollar amount spent in the current year will be less than what we budgeted for.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Carol, do you have your hand up? You want to further explain that?
Well, no, I just had a question. I think I had the number I had for the enrollment for the current year, 20 to 21, is 44. Is that right? Ian? The enrollment that you sent us had 44 students for this year.
Total, probably. Yes, right. What I sent you, yes.
And then for next year, what will it be?
It'll be 16 in the high school, 11 in the middle school, and I believe 11 or 12 at our school.
So what is, I can't, let's see, 11.
39.
Yeah.
So that's a difference of seven.
Five. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Donna, you had your hand up?
Yeah. If we're finished with this part of the topic, I already think I know my answer to this question, but it's always confusing because the superintendent is split between the superintendent and principal. And you know, maybe for a long time it said administrative, but I always thought it used to say principal. So, you know, I think that's what I'm looking at, right?
What line are you on, Donna?
There's two lines. One is 8101 and the other is 8201.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, that position is split, the administration, the secretary.
Right. And I just wondered why we don't call it principal. Just curious. That's just not a big deal, but so I'm assuming that the secretary spends half of her time in superintendent support and half of her time in principal support. Is that the same person? I mean, is that?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right, so I get that part. The other question, let's see, that I had, I too found it confusing about all of those different positions, as Bo mentioned. I mean, I understand why you did it the way you did it, but, and also with the ed techs, it's like there are ed techs in numerous places too. It's kind of confusing to try to figure, you know, if you're just the regular person on the street trying to figure out what's what. And then I was trying to find special ed and I wasn't sure I found that, but I think I did.
8501, Donna.
8501 is special ed.
Yep, it's a whole section.
Yep, it's right underneath the elementary. So there's two places where there's ed tech.
Well, maybe I've got the wrong budget. I mean, Mine says 8101 teacher salaries and 8502 Medicare and FICA.
Yes, but the headline on that special ed.
Okay, but mine doesn't, what I printed off didn't have that. I must have something different than what you guys have. Because I don't have any headings. All I have is a whole list of numbers with stuff.
Christine did one that you could have picked up at the box.
Oh, okay.
It has it all laid out.
Sorry, I didn't get that
one. You're probably looking at their school budget when it gets put into our format, which is completely different than the way they present it.
Okay, that's why I was having trouble with it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that would be very confusing, Donna, what you're looking at. It'd be very hard to follow, absolutely.
But I think I generally understand it. You know, I mean, but I just was curious as to where special ed was.
And so, Donna, with the ed techs, there's two places where there's ed techs. There's one in the regular instruction lines, and there's one in the special ed instruction lines.
Okay.
And we have two, and they actually split the positions so they're both half and half and half and half, so that their salaries are split pretty even throughout the two.
And while we're speaking about special ed, where is the special ed teacher? Because I know we're going to have a transition.
We are not aware of that transition at this time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so that, I don't know.
That, if we're is gonna... not, that is not public knowledge yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. So looking at the special ed middle school tuition and secondary tuition, is that because we have students who need special services and that was part of our original deal when we made an arrangement with Yarmouth?
So there's regular ed's tuition to Yarmouth, and then there's special ed tuition. So we pay extra if they have, like if they have speech language, if they go into the resource room, if they have OT, we pay extra for those.
And
those.
That's only if we only have to pay it if we have need the service.
If the student has an IEP that says that they have to have.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So also about insurance. You were saying that there was going to be a change in that. I think Jeff said that, right? That's still up in the air. Because one place I saw zero and another place I saw 10%. But like I said, I'm on this strange thing that is.
Yeah. And we also received word today that the highest that it's going to be, possibly be, is a 4.2% increase. So I will go back and
fix. Oh, that's great news.
Yes, that is.
What did you budget for?
Pardon?
How much did you budget for?
I budgeted for 10%.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
Well, and just to follow up on that, when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at 8203 on my convoluted budget. Health insurance. The health insurance for the whole school district is only $10,000?
That's one person.
Oh, so it's divided up into all these different places. Oh, I see it. Okay, I see another one. All right, thank you. I was going to say, how'd you get that deal?
Yeah.
I think that answers all of my questions about the budget. Before we're finished, I'd like, Jeff and I talked a little bit about talking about what each side has to, what each side is thinking about in capital for the next 5 to 10 years, but I think there's probably a lot more questions about, maybe about this budget. So I just so that we don't forget that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was a couple questions actually on our end that I wrote down from school committee members, kind of directed to Justin and the select board. Obviously feel free to come back to the numbers if you want, but I'm gonna jump to this for now. Sure. We were wondering, what is the date to submit the school warrant articles so they're prepared for the warrant?
Justin and I spoke today and we're trying, I think the board is generally trying to have an in-person town meeting. We have not voted on it. We're getting the information. It would have to be at the rec center to have a building big enough so that we could, and it's a moving target. I'm going to turn it over to Justin because he has a little more information about what would have to happen. But that's kind of what we're looking at, which gives us more time, I guess, to answer your question.
Yeah, so if we have an in-person town meeting, the notice is a lot shorter for us to post the notice for that. It's only a period of weeks. If we do a referendum election, if we wanted that to be held at about the same time that the in-person town meeting, we would have to finalize this in the next couple of weeks. We'd have to know by the middle of April because we have to post 2 months ahead of time. That being said, there's still the possibility for special dispensation. We haven't heard anything from MMA yet about whether the governor would do as last year and waive those noticing requirements. That's how the referendum election was able to be done last year without that long notice period. So kind of all this is up in the air. We don't really know. If we were to follow the normal law without all these executive orders, we would have to decide very quickly. But I'm highly suspect that that will be the case. I would assume that probably right off here, we'll get some type of notification from the governor that we're gonna, that she'll waive all these requirements again, but we don't know that yet.
Okay, that's good. Just, you know, certainly just keep us posted.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we won't call you the night before.
Good.
The other thing, Justin, I think we have our lawyers write the warrant articles for us, not put a number on them and just give them to you. And so then you just fold them into your stuff.
Okay.
Let's see. I had another question that was, what is the town doing or planning to do or budgeting for pay increases? Is it a cost of living percentage or is it a flat dollar figure pay increase?
Right now, we're in the process of trying to finally develop a real system. Justin has taken a real leadership role in trying to look at what they're paying throughout Cumberland County and other small towns in Maine that are the size that we are, and putting together a schedule. And we haven't voted on it yet. The board hasn't even seen his latest draft. But it's something that's a goal that we have that, you know, that we're trying to work on something, and there'll be an evaluation system tied to it. I think the majority of the board felt that was a goal for Justin. And so I'm going to turn over to Justin to give you a little more detail, but we're not quite there.
Yeah. So what I placed in the budget as a placeholder was the COLA adjustments based on past practice, which they had looked at CPI and just pegged the raises to that number. So that's what's in there now. It's a 2%. That's what's based in there. If they adopt what I just drafted, it would probably be more in line with what you're used to. It's like a step system where for so many years you climb to a certain peak, and then at that, there'd be some type of COLA adjustments for those that were then redlined in their salary queue. But as Donna said, the board hasn't even seen it yet, so I hesitate to talk about it too much detail because I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Okay, yeah, good enough. Same thing, just kind of keep us posted because we don't want to do something that's drastically different than what the town is doing. Yep. David?
Questions come in. What date are we going to have the in-person town meeting if that's the direction we take? It's usually the second Saturday and
12th of June, I think, is the date.
Yeah, I think June, that's correct.
That'd be the second Saturday in June.
I was thinking it was the first Saturday in June, but
I've got to hear my phone.
Okay.
Let me look.
I couldn't remember what the ordinance said.
Well, we've had them on June 9th, I remember. Because
we've had them on June 6th, too.
Yeah.
June 12th would be the date.
Okay.
Which is the second Saturday.
Okay. Carol, you had another question about electric vehicles, and I'm sorry, I don't think I could quite explain it right. So I'm going to just ask you if you want to get that out.
Yeah, and I guess we had a brief discussion with Justin editor when he came to us school committee meeting a while back, but I understood that there was a pretty favorable incentive for municipalities to purchase electric vehicles. So I'm just asking where the town is on that and whether we could consider one for the school, because it seemed like a good option to me.
Yes, it can be. I've been working on some other things recently, but I did talk to a Chevrolet dealer. Their incentives are a little different. They don't offer a lease option. It's a purchase. It's still a good deal, but it's not that number I told you that GP Cog got for $50 a month. Those are Hyundais or Kias, and that seems to be what most of the towns are buying. I know some of them have gone out and they bought their allotment. I guess Efficiency Maine at first didn't put a limit on how many towns could buy, but then like Westbrook and some of them said they wanted 12 or 13 of them, and they said no. So there's a limit on, I think, four or five that each town is allowed to take the incentives for, because they are very substantial.
So what is the ballpark cost for the community? Because when you say so much a month, I don't know what the term is for that.
So the lease that GP Cog got on theirs, and what I know a couple of other municipalities have gotten to, it was around $55 a month for a 3-year lease on one of these things.
Seems like
their current car that GP Cog had, they were paying $180 a month. So when this deal came along, it was a significant cost savings for them.
So I would like to put a plug in there that, you know, the town consider purchasing at least a couple, you know, if it's feasible. It seems like, you know, plus there's no fuel cost in the long run, just electricity, right?
And that's free.
Yeah, right.
Not free. Not free.
There's no fuel cost, but who's going to work on it if something happens?
Well, I think, you know, I think you're going to, there's already electric vehicles out here. I think we'll, you know, we'd have to maybe barge it to the mainland, which is not that different than what we do now. That's what we do now. So I think, I wouldn't purchase it because of that, because I think in the future, that's the wave of, you know, that's the way it's going to go for vehicles.
Donna?
Yeah, I think that it certainly deserves some looking at it, because if you think about the price and you think about it's brand new, it's not like we're buying something used that somebody has to keep up and has to maintain all the time. It seems as if it might be cost effective to replace one of the town cars as well. Although Justin and I had to go to Deer Point today, so I don't know if these electric cars would really be, you know, as, you know, they might not be, they're fine to go back and forth to the boat, but I'm not sure they'd be good about going down to Deer Point.
Sounds like a great item to be brought up in a regular meeting.
Yes.
In more detail, I guess. But it's good to know that there's some incentives out there that we can look into. I guess, quite honestly, I have not paid a whole lot of attention to the town side of the budget, the selectmen and Justin have put together. I guess knowing that ours looks potentially to be down substantially, roughly where does your side of the budget look like, and how will that affect taxpayers?
I would say I'm going to turn over to Justin in a minute, but and Mark isn't on, who's the chairman of the budget. So I'm like the third string here, but I would say that one of our big variables this year is what happens about dredging. And because we got some encouraging news. I mean, Justin and I talked about it a little bit. It was more encouraging than I thought it was going to be, but we still don't know whether we're really going to get dredged next fall or not. And the price has gone up a little bit, but not significant. It's within the money that we have. So that's not right now an issue. But the board has discussed if we didn't dredge this year, that we could hold that money in a fund, which we already have it in, and maybe do roads. So, you know, and we don't really know what we're going to do. I mean, that both of those things are kind of up in the air, and we had kind of put the roads on hold thinking we were dredging. So, you know, we're kind of scrambling trying to figure that out. So that's an honest answer, that we're not really sure if we're going to go in the road direction or not in the road direction. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll know more about the dredging. So I'm going to turn it over to Justin.
Dredging in the fall of 2021 or 2022?
Well, that's our hope. The fiscal year for the federal government is 22, And something we got today said something about fiscal 22, and they have to dredge between October and January or February. And so he didn't come right out and say it, but it was as close as we've gotten. I mean, it goes back and forth because we're talking about the federal government.
Say no more.
So overall, the only real cost driver that's not really in the board's control is our solid waste contract went up substantially. Recycling is no longer free. It costs more to recycle stuff than it does to throw it in the trash. So we have to start paying for recycling, as in the past, it was pretty much a free endeavor to recycle. And then trucking costs has gotten expensive for hauling too. Other than that, the overall town budget is pretty flat. So depending on the direction that the board takes, basically with our capital, whether we wanna basically do no projects this year, no paving, nothing like that, and save for the dredging project, not knowing if it's gonna happen in the next fiscal year, whether they wanna get the town meeting to authorize bonding so that I could just borrow the money when it's needed so we don't have to tie up our capital budget for this year. So those are the things that are really in flux, but the capital budget, they really get to control. So when we get to the end, I wouldn't expect there to be much of a mill increase. I would expect it to be pretty flat based on what I'm seeing right now.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That's kind of all I had for discussion. I'm still open for any more questions if anybody has any, or yeah, Bo.
Sorry, I my discussion a while ago got cut short because lousy internet. So I'd like to talk more about the K through two teacher. You know, I'm not a mathematician, but we lost 75 a teacher. We were paying $75,000, and the difference is only 49,000. So if you add stuff, go ahead.
Okay, so the first draft that I gave to the school board, I did a percentage of kids and used the percentages to then figure out how much of the two salaries to put in there. And then it just got convoluted. So it was easier to just go 50-50, 50-50, and then split the special salaries between the K2 and the 3-5 as well. So if the school board wants me to break it down, you know, percentage wise of students, I can certainly do that. But I just took the position's salary that they were going to earn next year, cut it in half, and put it between two lines.
I think another way of looking at it, Bo, is that we did lose one full-time teacher, but we had to bump up the three-quarter time teacher up to full-time. Yep. So that's some of it. But you also have the specials teachers in there, music, art, PE, and we did not have a language last year.
But it's still in there.
So those specials salaries are in that K2 instruction line embedded in there.
Okay. So you said full time. Are you guys going to start going back on Wednesdays, or?
We have been. It's only been, I think there was only five Wednesdays that we were not in school, but we've been back since January sometime.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it's been 5 days a week most of the year, 8 o'clock to 2:30.
So how many full-time teachers do you guys have on staff now?
Two full-time teachers.
And two ed techs?
Correct.
All right.
Donna?
Yeah, I'd like to commend the school board and Ann and the staff for the work that they have done through the pandemic, because I think it's amazing that the kids have had as much instructional time. And we're lucky as a community that we haven't had shutdowns. I know my grandson's in first grade and in Buckfield, Maine, and he has been home probably at least three times, maybe more, for 10 days because someone in his school had COVID, his sister's provider for daycare had COVID, and it is so disruptive for kids. And they're lucky in Buckfield, he's been going to school basically 4 days a week. So it's much better than what they've been doing in Cumberland and Yarmouth. So I can't complain about it. But I think you guys have done a great job keeping everyone safe and really, you know, paying attention. And I, you know, I'm sure that the kids will benefit in the long run, even though they are getting out an hour early. They're compared to what it would be, you know, and if they were someplace else, I think that they have benefited.
I'll second that.
I'll take the words right out of Ann's mouth and tell you that the team effort here has been incredible.
Yeah. Well,
thank you for
noticing. They deserve the credit. And well, you guys too for supporting them.
Yeah.
Thank you for recognizing that. Appreciate it. Anything else tonight? All right.
We'll try to keep you, Jeff, as up to date as we are. There's so many moving targets, you know, like what are we going to do about the town meeting? What are we going to do about dredging? What are we going to do about, but, you know, within the next two or three weeks, some of this stuff and also the payroll, you know, how we're going to do our pay increases or whatever, you know, within the next month, all of those decisions will have to be made and we'll keep you guys in the loop.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. All right, thanks everybody.
Does somebody have their hand up in the chat?
No.
Okay, I just saw one thing in a chat, okay.
No, that was just the question about when town meeting would be.
Okay, all right.
Thanks, all right. Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Good job.
Good night.